Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuck Reese Show. Hanging out with you on this Dynamite Wildcard Wednesday evening. Final hour of the program. You know what that means. It's time for the Brown Liquor Music Hour to get started and get cranked up. Chuck Reese always gets the first request, little Lou Rawls, little groovy people to get us going here on this Wednesday evening. Of course, it's all brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. We ask you to go to ChattanoogaWhiskey.com and grab you some today. Where the heck did my reads go? There we go. Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Get ready for the weekend with Chattanooga Whiskey. Available at your favorite Atlanta retail store. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to be a part of the show, hit us up there. Of course, we always ask you to download the radio.com app because, well, we know that you're not in the car and in the vehicle as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and the show. How do you do it? Simple. Radio.com app. Download that on your device today. Take that smartphone. Take those Alexa speakers. Take that tablet. Take that boombox. Take that 8-track player, your Intellivision, your Coleco, your Swatch Watch, your Palm Pilot, your Speak and Spell. I don't know what your device is. Just download it onto something to be able to listen to us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Hit us up there. As always, the best way to be involved in our show, it's through our personal Twitter handles. Reach me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Thank you to those that have been jumping on board tonight and following me. A few people jumped on board. Thank you very much for that. That is, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He's in Midtown producing the show, hanging out with us as always. Jarvis in the building at Jarvis D90, at Jarvis D90. Let's get to our NFL squib kick.
Taking a look at the NFL with the squib kick with John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
By the way, how quickly things can turn as the Indians were up 4-0 in this game, now down 5-4 after a grand slam. But, you know, there you go. Don't worry, I know what losing is from growing up and everything else. I saw plenty of it. All right, so the NFL has issued a warning to coaches. Now, remember we've been talking about this story about, you know, they put this mandate about coaches wearing masks and everything on the sidelines, which I think personally is ridiculous considering that everybody has to test all the time. And if the players don't have to wear those Oakley face coverings and things like that, then why do the coaches need to wear masks and stuff? We know what it is. It's the dog and pony show of it. That's fine. But the NFL said wear it or we're going to fine you. They didn't do nothing week one. Then week two, they started fining this, that, and the other. And I said, okay. Pete Carroll came out and said, I'll pay the $100,000. Go ahead and find me. I'm going to pay it every week if I have to. I got to be able to pull my thing down and talk, and I'm not worried. And I said, you're going to have to get stiffer, get harder with it. The NFL has issued another warning, okay? And in a league memo sent to teams, says that this was the coaches, general managers, and team executives. The NFL will address the lack of compliance with accountability measures that may include suspensions and or forfeiture of draft picks. Now, Jarvis, remember a couple weeks ago I said, if you want to send a message to Pete Carroll about wearing a mask, suspend him. Tell him he can't go coach. Tell him he can't coach. Do it. Let's see how important it is to you. Let's see how important the mask protocols and things are to you. Make it to where it would hurt. And now the league is coming out saying that they may do that. Because, as I said, coaches have said, hey, I'll take the $100,000 fine. I got to be able to coach my guys. I got to be able to do what I got to do. I'll take it. Troy Vincent, I guess, in this memo, says that both our own independent medical advisors have emphasized the need to remain vigilant and disciplined in following the process and protocols put in place by agreement with the NFLPA as well as by state and local governments. We're only through week three of the season. If we play a full and interrupted season, we must all remain committed to our efforts and mitigate the risk of transmission of the virus. Inconsistent adherence to health and safety protocols, which will put 2020 season at risk. More on that getting through this season unscathed in just a minute out there. So John Harbaugh was one of the guys that, you know, was not wearing his mask and being a part of this. Quote, I know we really try our best. I compare with what we do here with the masks and all the protocols and anybody, just not in the National Football League, but anywhere in the world. We have been, for all three games, really good on the sideline. I don't think there's anybody better than us, me or our staff, from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, to think in a three-hour heated competitive environment, especially when you're yelling that your mask isn't going to fall down for 5 or 10 seconds. I don't think anybody could be held to that standard. So the NFL wants, you know, if they really want this and they really think it's important, fine, then get tough. Now, John Harbaugh, in his comments as well, you know, said that he thought it was unrealistic to expect coaches to think that coaches won't be lowering their mask and be doing these types of things. And remember we said with Pete Carroll said, look, I'll take the $100,000 fine. So that's why I said you've got to come up with something different than money, because they've already told you that money won't be enough. Simply money will not be enough to get them to sway to this. Now, speaking of uninterrupted season, the game Sunday between the Steelers and the Tennessee Titans has been postponed to either Monday or Tuesday. Now, I did not see a final word, but there was a lot of, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, there was a lot of rumor and innuendo going around that they were going to try to do it on Monday. And I don't know if that has been since deleted or continued or what have you, but their hope was to try to do it on Monday. They said earlier today, the NFL did, that postponement allows for additional time for further COVID testing and ensure the health and safety of players and game day personnel. So four players, including starting nose tackle Daquan Jones, linebacker, Kamale Correa, long snapper Bo Brinkley, and practice squad tight end Tommy Hudson, and five team personnel tested positive. Now, according to head coach Mike Vrabel, who was told about all this and said that some of them were experiencing flu-like symptoms, quote, I know there's going to be a lot of questions about the game and who's to blame and where it started. Nobody's to blame. We're in a pandemic. This is a very unfortunate situation, but one they're confident we'll be able to handle safely with the football team and the players' best interests at mind. So they shut down, obviously, all their football practice and program and everything like that. So my guess is by, what's today, Wednesday, tomorrow, Thursday, my guess is by Friday they'll have a pretty good handle on if this game is going to happen on Monday or Tuesday or not. And that's the thing is, you got to, you know, if you have one of these situations, you got to come up with something. Now, if they play on Tuesday, how much of a disadvantage are those two teams come Sunday? Right? I mean, Monday night we expect, and we know that play on Monday, you're going to come back on Sunday, right? But what about Tuesday? Because remember what they started doing with the Thursday game is that obviously you don't play until that whole following week, so you've got all that time off. Would they do the same thing with Tuesday? I don't think they would. I think if you play on Tuesday, I think you're coming back Sunday. Now, how much would that suck, huh? How much would that suck, you know, for the league that wants to preach about safety, but we're going to postpone it because of, you know, COVID, but hey, whack yourself around on Tuesday, come back on Sunday and whack yourself around again. It does seem disingenuous because you can't start just chopping the games off and things like that. It just it would start to get to be a scheduling logistic nightmare for all of that. So I'm assuming if it did get pushed to Tuesday, I'm assuming they got to suit back up on Sunday. Unless you're telling me that they're going to go to Monday of that following week and then get back to Sunday to help them pick up that day, but I don't know. And then you got the TV factor, right? That would be what? It's Titans and Steelers, so that's CBS, right? Because they have the CBS has the AFC package, right? So does that mean if, let's say they play on Monday, does that mean that CBS on their regular network broadcasts Tennessee and the Steelers while ESPN puts on Monday Night Football? You think Monday Night Football, ESPN would be real happy about that? Like, how does that work from a TV perspective? How do they sort all that stuff out? Because they'll make the game. I can't imagine that they. Well, maybe they make it a local only game, I guess. Maybe they make it a local only game. I don't know. Seems to me if you could find a way to play it on Tuesday, you make that the, you know, CBS primetime game. Have that as a Tuesday night primetime game. I bet you that'd get a pretty good number. I bet you they'd get a pretty good number if you put a game on, NFL game on Tuesday night. People are eating it up, right? They want to see all of that. So we'll see. But for now, obviously, the game has been postponed, and not much going to happen there. And finally, as the Philadelphia Eagles, they're struggling as well. Another team that is struggling mightily. But the quarterback who's been not good this year, who's actually leading the league in interceptions this year, Carson Wentz. Now, at Doug Peterson's press conference on Monday, he was asked about how long would you go with Wentz before you make a change to Jalen Hurts. Because Wentz right now leads the NFL in interceptions. So he leads the league in interceptions right now. He has the lowest passer rating in the NFL. And all this, remember how great he was? Jarvis, remember all those lists in the offseason that had Carson Wentz? Top five, top six, all of them over Matt, all of them over this guy, over that guy. Okay, well. He's never been the same player since that injury, where he was literally the MVP of the league before he got hurt. The year that the Eagles won the Super Bowl, he was literally the MVP of the league. Like, if he had continued playing and ran out the season, his last few games, he'd have been the MVP. He was terrific that year. But he's never been at that level. Never been. When asked about the situation, he said he didn't want to overanalyze it or anything, but, quote, "I think the biggest thing there's no doubt about is just taking care of the football. We make some plays as a whole offensively. We do some really good things to move the ball, and just the turnovers are really killing us. I've got to be better than that. I know that, and it's something that I've looked into. I've critiqued myself hard, and I've got to be better and kind of set the example on that front." Yeah, wouldn't you think if your quarterback's leading the league in interceptions, how many of those plays do you kill yourself on? How many times are you shooting yourself in the foot when you talk about leading the league like that, and that stat especially? Yeah, not exactly where you're going to be. Lowest passer rating, tied for the most interceptions in the NFL. Not really the stats that you want to be, you know, right at the top of the leaderboard in, but that's where Carson Wentz finds himself right now. I've said before, he's a good player, but I think he's the most overrated player. And I say that because he gets so much hype and love as a top-tier quarterback and has done nothing in the league. Nothing. Oh, he's the next great thing. He's done nothing in the league. Like I said, he had a really good start to a season a couple of years ago where the Eagles were really playing well and he was playing well and might have worked himself into an MVP if he could have finished out the season, but he didn't. And everybody still put him ahead of Matt Ryan, all these lists and everything like that. He hasn't done 1/50th of the stuff that Matt Ryan's done in his career. Not even 1/50th of what Matt's done in his career. So we'll see how it all plays out in Philadelphia. I got no love for them. They can get stuffed and lose every single game as far as I'm concerned. All right, when we get back, the good, the bad, the ugly from what was the Braves' 13-inning marathon win as they open up their series against the Cincinnati Reds. take a 1-0 lead with potential to close it out tomorrow night. Talk about all that next. This is John Sharkey Show. Hanging out with you on this Wednesday evening, Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on that radio.com app.
Look in your eyes and I can see if love's so dangerously. You're not trusting your heart to anyone. You tell me you're gonna play it smart. We're through before we start, but I believe that we've only just begun.
On the John Chuckery Show, hanging out on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this winning Wednesday evening. Roundup of Music Hour rolling right along as we head toward the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief. It's all brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink better during happy hour with award-winning Chattanooga Whiskey 91. It's available at your favorite Atlanta retail store. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to hit us up there. Social media, 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. And, of course, radio.com app is how you catch us when you are on the go. So earlier today, and then, you know, obviously what seemed like it was headed toward the nighttime, a noon start to a game that ended up having to have the lights turned on to it. Not that it was dark, but, I mean, they were. If it had to go too much longer, they might have gotten some darker weather, but had to prepare for it. But Braves, of course, take care of business today against the Cincinnati Reds. And what was a great pitcher's duel. You know, when you think about, you know, two stud pitchers, and we said going into this that this was the best matchup of pitchers in the opening game of all of these series. You know, the Indians, Yankees had Gerrit Cole and Shane Bieber, but Bieber was clear and away going to be the Cy Young winner this year. There's no question in the American League he's the Cy Young winner. Cole's been okay. He's been better than okay, but he hasn't been maybe as dominant as what they hoped for. Remember, the Braves rocked him around when they did that makeup game. So, but in the National League, you know, Bauer and Fried are going to finish 1-2 in the Cy Young. I think Bauer's going to win the Cy Young, but they're going to finish 1-2 in the Cy Young. So Braves hold on for what was an eternity in a 13-inning, 1-0 game where finally in the bottom of the 13th, Freddie Freeman singles in the winning run. So lots of things about this. Number one, the good. Well, Max Fried was outstanding today. You know, he pitched 7 shutout innings. He was terrific today. He was on his game, and he was matching Trevor Bauer inning for inning for inning. And look, when you get into some of these series we've talked about, you know, when you start to line up against the best of the best, you got to have that ace. You got to have that guy that you feel like, okay, I can trot this guy out here 3 times in a 7-game series and put him against the best lineup or, you know, facing the, you know, best pitcher of the other team, and he's going to keep us in the ball game and keep us in a position where we can win that thing. Max Fried can absolutely do that. And it does bode well for what the future is to think about how good of a 1-2 punch that potentially Max Fried and Mike Soroka could be. You know, they were really good last year. They won 30 games combined last year. Sky's the limit. You know, now Fried has really kind of caught up and overtaken that idea of the ace status. And that's only because Soroka's hurt, obviously. I mean, Soroka comes back and goes lights out. You know, maybe people start looking at him as the ace. But certainly, you know, terrific thus far and just continuing his regular season success with a masterful performance. You know, obviously, too, Freddie Freeman, who is looking to be the MVP of the league. And I think all of the voting for the MVP and all that, that's all done at the end of the regular season. I think once the end of the once the regular season ends, I think that they don't that there's no longer any voting that goes on. Postseason, to my knowledge, postseason is never it doesn't factor in, but they also don't give you the emotional vote of watching it. You vote for all of that at the end of the regular season. I do think Freddie Freeman is going to be the MVP of the league at that point. And, of course, he comes through with the big hit. You know, in a game where everybody had their chance to get multiples of strikeouts. You know, you had guys that, you know, I think everybody got at least one strikeout in the game today. At one point, the Braves had 21 or 22 strikeouts in the game. But certainly Freddie comes through in a clutch moment when they need him, and certainly when they need, you know, their leader to step up, then he stepped up, you know, in that game today. The bullpen, obviously, once Freed leaves that game, you know, I think they used eight pitchers in that game. I think it's that they used eight relievers in that game. But they obviously didn't give up anything in this. They obviously shut down the Reds' offense, or whatever the Reds lacked thereof of offense. But if there's not an offense that's more home run strikeout than the Reds, if they're not the ultimate no batting average, and if we make contact, I mean, it's very obvious to see. I mean, it's really obvious to see. How could Trevor Bauer have a 1.73 ERA, average almost 13 strikeouts per nine innings, and only go 5-4? Just like when DeGrom would go, you know, 8-8. It's obvious when you watch. I mean, you watch it and you go, like, oh, okay. I know exactly why this team is where it's at out there. So, hell of a pitcher's duel, but the bullpen came in and did its job. Now, you know, the bad is the Braves' offense and the lack thereof, and especially in high-leverage moments and runners in scoring position. You know, the Braves are not going to be able to just mash their way all the way through the playoffs. They're, you know, you're going to see, you know, maybe Trevor Bauer is better than anybody, but if they last around long enough, you can see Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw, you know, guys at that level. You know, you can see guys that are at the top of the food chain. Now, one of the reasons that, you know, these teams are where they are right now is the fact that they do have either a great starting pitcher or a great offense or something that is a standout feature that's gotten them there. And that's what Trevor Bauer was today. Braves have got to find a way to manufacture, create more runs, especially when they get guys on. You know, I still say that the Braves don't utilize their speed enough. If you've got Ronald Acuna or Ozzie Albies on first base or Enciarte on first base, any one of those three guys, especially, they should be running towards second. Well, you don't want to take the bat out of somebody's hand. Okay, to a degree. But I don't know that everybody's going to, you know, I don't know that everybody's going to walk Freddie Freeman five times intentionally so they can get to Marcell Ozuna, who led the league in homers and RBI. So I'm not sure how long you're excited about. Let's walk Freddie every time. Oh, here comes the, you know, here comes a potential MVP candidate, and at least the guy who led the league in home runs and RBI. But I think that those guys, when they get on, and it's still one of those things that I would like to see that lineup tweaked to more where you've got maybe Dansby 9, Ronald 1, Ozzie 2, and keep that speed together and let those guys, when they get on, start running and knocking each other around and set themselves up to where they've got multiples of guys in scoring positions so that when Freeman and Ozuna and Denard and those guys come up, there are ducks on the pond. You know, you got ducks on the pond for them to drive in. And Ronnie's going to run into a home run or two himself, you know, obviously. But the idea is put ducks on the pond for your, you know, boppers to be able to come in there and drive those runs in. So I wouldn't mind personally if they did some things to tweak the lineup a little bit, maybe make it a little bit more traditional. And I know they were winning a bunch of games with that. I mean, obviously, you know, it could be hard to change, but, you know, again, this is not, you know, this isn't, you know, the Mets or, you know, the Pirates or, you know, those kinds of teams. It's those teams are not, you know, not here in this. This is the best of the best, and there's a reason why these teams have gotten to where they are. The Reds, though, certainly didn't get there on their offense because their offense is just dreadful. They had some of the worst situational hitting I've ever seen in my entire life. Honestly, they've had some of the worst situational hitting you could ever see in all of this. So, excellent win, but the Braves have got to get better with runners in scoring position. Now, I personally think that, and I said this at the beginning of the show, I think the Braves roll tomorrow. I think they end this thing. I will be very curious to see, and it is a 12:08 start, so back to a noon start for the Atlanta Braves. I will be curious to see, though, how they handle Ian Anderson. Do you let him pitch deep into the game? How many pitches do you afford him? If they start to see any signs of trouble early, do you yank him early or do you let him try to figure it all out? Because I think that's the interesting dynamic is how far are they willing to stretch Ian Anderson to see if he can close this series out? Because if I'm the Braves, I mean, listen, I understand you want to win every game, but if I have to treat tomorrow like game three instead of just game two and play with my hair on fire, then do it like that. You know, whether it's bullpen or whatever. I mean, if you feel like you have to, oh, I don't know. I was trying to think. I mean, if you felt like you had to pitch Max Fried an inning tomorrow, whatever, to win, then do what you got to do to win the series and be done with it. Because I think, truthfully, with the extra round, I think having the extra off day off is a big deal. I think that just wrapping up your series and not letting a team like the Reds hang around, because that's the worst thing you can do with teams like that, right, is let them hang around and let them feel like they have a chance to win. If you know, teams like that feel like they have a chance to win, a lot of times they do find a way to win. So, I mean, going forward, lineup, I mean, I'd like to see what that's going to look like, if it's going to stay with the whole thing. You know, then obviously how long do you let Ian Anderson go with it? And don't forget, if they lose this game tomorrow night, they go right back to playing on Friday. So, you know, it's back-to-back-to-back if you need all three games. And we have had some series that already have ended. The Astros took care of the Twins today, so they win that series 2-0. So there are some teams that are already doing all that, but the Braves will do themselves well to get themselves in a position to go ahead and close this thing out. Play a little bit with your hair on fire with it. And they've got to get some of their guys going early. I mean, Ozuna had some really terrible at-bats today. Darnot had some bad at-bats today. And by the way, I thought they were playing, weren't they supposed to be playing with a DH in this? Because the Braves had their pitcher out. Oh, what's that, Jarvis? No? Oh, that's Markakis? Oh, okay. Oh, I was wrong. I thought that the Braves were having their pitchers hit because I kept seeing a guy strike out and muff around and hit a 79 hopper to first base, and you know, but I guess that was Nick Markakis, the right fielder. I apologize. I just assumed with that kind of performance it was a pitcher out there. And miss me with the he had the hit that scored. Miss me with that whole take. That I can't believe that game went on as long as it did once you got into the bullpen. You know, once you got past like their closer and things like that, I'm amazed that the Reds kept it, you know, for as long as what they did. I'm surprised they got to the 13th inning with that group that they've got out there. Don't they have a former Brave, too? And they're a former Brave that's on one of those guys that pitched today I thought was a former Brave. I was trying to remember. I can't remember what his name was on, but I thought he was a former Atlanta Brave. When I heard his name, I was like, I thought that guy pitched in Atlanta one time. So, good win. Get back at it tomorrow night, and let's see what happens. I think they blow out the Reds tomorrow. I mean, if you told me it's 8-1, I said at the beginning of the show, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's 8-1 tomorrow. You took the soul out of the Reds. That was the game to win for the Reds. They had it there. Their offense is dreadful. All right, when we get back, there's a funny story from NFLPA president who wants the NFL stadiums to go to something. Very old school. I'll explain next. Chuck Rich Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com app.
Sale. A grown-up fairy tale, Prince Charming always smiles.
Sports Radio, 92 on the Game, back at it on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Wednesday evening. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling around long. We head to the top of the hour of the JR Sports Brief. It's all brought to you by award-winning Chattanooga Whiskey Cask 111, the only Tennessee high malt bourbon handcrafted in small batches and bottled unfiltered from the cask. This is what we call a big deal. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Be a part of the show. Twitter's at JMSH316. He's at JarvisD90. Watching the Lakers in Miami, 80-54 right now. Lakers blowing them out here in the third quarter. Just rolling. LeBron had a play right before the half where he took a missed layup and reverse dunked it. And yeah, it's hope it goes, you know, 6 or 7. You know, of course, I'm rooting for LeBron and the Lakers to win this thing. Miami's a great story. Jimmy Butler, part of that group that's really overachieved out of all of it. But, you know, unbelievable. Lakers just blown them out, and we'll see. I mean, there's no, you know, in these situations, it's like what we talked about with the Portland Trailblazers, you know. Oh, it was great that Portland won game one, but it's not like they can capitalize off it and, you know, go back to their home court and build off that momentum. Same thing with Miami. Let's say if they get down a couple of games in this series, it's not like they're going home and getting the crowd behind them and getting a new atmosphere and everything. No, you're down there in Orlando in the bubble. We got to play it out. Play it out till it's over. I think some of those guys are ready to get home and get on with the next phase of their basketball life. I mean, say what you will, the basketball bubble's been a success. You know, it's been a success. And I said earlier, I'm going to be curious to see what the ratings are. What's the TV ratings? Of course, you know, the finals are on ABC. But, you know, starting at 9 o'clock at night, and, you know, they're starting on the night where, on the, you know, night where we've had an entire day's worth of playoff baseball. You know, literally starting at noon and all the way through, I mean, you've had nothing but playoff baseball today and tonight. So I'll be curious to see what the TV ratings are on all of it. Should be good because it is on ABC, and LeBron will drive it for sure. I think Miami's kind of one of those sexy teams as well. You know, not just, you know, in Miami, but outside of Miami, the whole kind of Pat Riley image, you know, they were the champions. They'll bring out some cool uniforms. Jimmy Butler is a popular player. So, I mean, good stuff there. We'll see what the Lakers can do. Now, this is an interesting story. Jarvis, I don't know if you saw this today, but J.C. Tretter, who is the not just the starting center for the Cleveland Browns, but he's also the president of the Football Players Association, the NFLPA, right? He's put out a proclamation that he wants all NFL teams to go to all natural grass across the league to risk injury to players. In a newsletter that he put out, it says that players have a 28% higher rate of non-contact lower extremity injuries when playing on artificial turf as compared to playing on natural grass. This from data collected between 2012 and 2018. Also, it said those rates are even higher for non-contact knee injuries, 32%, and non-contact foot and ankle injuries, 69% on turf, as compared to natural grass. In a Zoom video conference earlier today, Tretter said, quote, "The data stands out. Those numbers are staggering, the difference in injury rate between turf and natural grass. It's possible to get grass in every location, and it's about pushing for that. We all should be working on the safest style of play. We know the dangers of playing on turf. That's not good for anybody. It's not good for players. It's not good for GMs and head coaches. It's not good for the owners. It's not good for the fans. Increased injuries aren't good for anybody. Until we can find a way to get synthetic turf to respond and react like natural grass, it's too much of a danger to continue to play on and expect different results." Says so far, 13 stadiums have artificial turf, which actually seems kind of low. I'm surprised it's not more teams than that. But a few things. This is an interesting concept. I don't know that you can have, as somebody who knows a little bit about grass, I don't know. You obviously would have to have different types of grass depending on, you know, what kind of climates and things like that. But the reality is that for the northern markets and such, and I hate to say it this way, but it's not they don't design the stadiums and things like that with player safety in mind. These new stadiums like Minnesota, right? They're trying to get a Super Bowl. You know, they're trying to bring in lots of revenue to the city. You can't have an outdoor grass stadium. And I know they did the outdoor Super Bowl in New York. I'll believe they'll do one of those in Green Bay or Minnesota outside, or, you know, somewhere like that, when, you know, Boston or something like that, when it happens. I ain't buying that it's happening. But those cities like Minnesota, you know, they won a Super Bowl. And they are not going to get a Super Bowl if they have outdoor grass, you know, outdoor stadium, outdoor grass. It's not going to happen. Not in a city like Minnesota. They're not going to get a Super Bowl. That's why they got it. They built that big, beautiful dome stadium, right? And I get what he's saying. I get the concept of it, because the problem is that, you know, it's like AstroTurf, you know, if you will, for lack of a better term. I mean, it's the newer synthetic turfs are a lot more like real grass. Just if you know about what they are, you have a base for it, then once you put the turf down and cut it and all that kind of stuff, you'll basically go through there and you can spread sand. A lot of those surfaces are like ground up tires and things like that, like rubberized tire and stuff like that, to give it more surface and base. But, you know, whereas sod and everything's laid on dirt, you know, these synthetic fields are basically concrete underneath. That's basically what it is. It's concrete underneath those things. You know, and it was even worse, and I would assume it's gotten a lot better, but it was even worse back in the old days. Remember places like the Vet, when they had, you know, synthetic turf and all that? Just some of those old artificial turf where literally you were playing on concrete. It's like they put down a concrete slab and then stapled artificial turf to it. That's the old days of turf. Remember, like, the Vet and places like that, when the Eagles would play and that baseball crossover and you'd see the diamond and you remember how bad that stuff was? But now these synthetic turfs, I don't know. I mean, it seems like they're much better quality nowadays, because you got to put down kind of a base for it. You know, not using concrete base, but you're putting down a base for it, and then, you know, you're spreading in the, you know, could be like ground up rubber and things like that, sands and stuff like that that are used in there. So it should have a little bit better surface than what the old AstroTurf stuff was. I don't even know if anybody uses, I'm trying to think. I mean, everybody that uses synthetic turf, I mean, like the Superdome and things like that. You know, it's all those synthetic, obviously here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is kind of, I'm not saying it's funny that they want to have more player safety, but It's so hard to gauge those, some of those things, you know, sometimes out there. Says San Francisco 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan and his players had expressed concern about turf at MetLife Stadium. There's some engineers that have been tasked with examining the different field surfaces. Here's the thing. Teams want the Super Bowl. Retrofitting the stadium costs, which means you got to open up the stadium. Remember, well, I don't even, let's put it this way, I don't even remember it, but they tried to get grass to grow. Jarvis, you know this, that when the Astrodome first opened, that they tried to get grass to grow in the Astrodome. The original Astrodome had a glass ceiling. Yeah, in the old original Astrodome, the Astros, they wanted to still play on real grass, okay? So they had like they were like glass panels or solar panels or whatever on the top, and they tried to grow grass inside the Astrodome. Now, they were not successful, obviously, you know, and that led to, you know, the old-fashioned AstroTurf, because they thought, if we just put these windows up here and this, that, and the other, because obviously they don't want, you know, the idea that this is the eighth wonder of the world and stuff like that, but they tried to grow grass in it. And it was a obviously failed experiment that didn't last very long. Then they went to, you know, what we now know as AstroTurf back then. But it is an interesting concept. I have a hard time believing the league will invest in all of that. Change up. I mean, think about what's Mercedes-Benz going to do. You can't just open that hole in the roof and think you can grow grass. You have to take the whole roof off. Wouldn't that be fun? How funny would that be if they had to take the roof off the Mercedes-Benz? Holy cow. Imagine that. Whew. All right, we get back. Time for the Love TKO. We'll wrap things up here on the John Chuckery Show. Sports Radio 910 The Game on your radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.